Books of the Bible. When Habakkuk saw violence and injustice in Judah, he complained to God. God promised to use the Chaldeans to punish Judah. But Habakkuk complained that they were even worse than Judah. God said that he would punish the Chaldeans after using them to purify Judah. God uses all things for his glory and the good of his people, even evil things. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What are we doing? We're spanning the globe. This is Wretched Radio. Did you know that the current Prime Minister of India was banned from the United States for a decade? I didn't either. Was reading an article in The Guardian talking about Prime Minister Modi's power and his influence in creating Hindu nationalism. He's being very successful, and he was previously outlawed, banned from coming to the United States. Thought you might be interested in why. Immediately after he became chief minister, the current Prime Minister of India was involved in what are called the Gujarat riots. Did I say that right, Jimmy?
You did. You got it.
Because how many times have you been to India?
I've never been to India.
But
I've been to
always been to me. Okay, somebody sent me that song. Do you remember that song from the 70s? It wasn't my favorite. I've been to paradise, but I've never been to me. Somebody sent me a note and said it's actually a very pro-life song where I think she expresses regrets in the second verse about having an abortion, which is great, but wow, that song was kind of cool. I've been to paradise, but I've never been to me. Jimmy,
yes,
hasn't been to India, but he knows how to pronounce Gujarat. How do you know these things?
I've been to Pakistan.
Have you really?
I have been to Pakistan.
What was it like?
As you might expect, very, very third world.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, okay. But what about the spiritual climate?
We didn't get out in public very much because we couldn't. We were protected from that. So,
well, because you would have been what? Arrested?
Well, we would have just been, I mean, we're American, so we would have been recognized and they would have been looking for reasons to
boot you out.
I heard him say something about the Quran.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So for safety reasons.
We were very.
So what were you doing there if you were sitting inside all day?
Training pastors.
Ah, that makes sense. See, now those guys have to live with that stuff too.
Yep.
We don't understand what that's like yet. But I suspect we will. So he was elected the chief prime minister, or the chief minister rather, February 2002. Train coaches carrying Hindu pilgrims were set on fire, killing 59 people. The finger was pointed at Muslims. And the following day, a coordinated attack by right-wing Hindu groups began on Muslim neighborhoods. Hundreds were tortured, killed, burned alive, and gang raped. I don't know why, naivete, ignorance. I always thought Hinduism, Buddhism, such a peace, you know, they're, if nothing else, you know, they're just pacifistic. No, they're actually not. Not all of them, obviously. There are those who are willing to kill you for not sharing their religious beliefs. That's what happened in 2002. You say, what does that have to do with the prime minister? He was accused of inflaming the violence and of not giving police orders to halt the anti-Muslim pogroms. He never apologized for the riots, and his complicity led him to being banned from the U.S. for nearly a decade. I'm pretty sure our president probably would herald the fellow. Because whatever makes sense these days doesn't. Let's keep spanning the globe, shall we, to Philadelphia, which is a town I have only visited once, but I dug it. I dug it a lot. It felt like the Chicago of the East to me. It didn't feel like New York. New York is about as intense as it can be. Philadelphia had a little bit of Midwestern sensibility to it. That's what I like about Chicago. It is both urban and yet it doesn't have that East Coast sort of edge. And I thought that of Philadelphia. Could be wrong, was only there once, but wow, it was beautiful. Did the traditional stuff, the Liberty Bell, location of the first Congress, and just dug it because it had a mojo. A mojo? A vibe. There was an air about it that was really groovy, and now it's becoming so dangerous. But in the plus column for Philadelphia, just so you know, do not give up hope on Philadelphia, because they just set the Guinness World Record for most attended drag story time reading. Hey, it's so Philadelphia isn't in the trash heap. Yep. Drag queens read books to 263 people at the National Constitution Center last Saturday. It was an event organized. One of the books that was read, 'Twas the Night Before Pride. Ooh. 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 Congratulations, Philadelphia. I got to tell you, until transgender people, until they start doing transgender story time in nursing homes, I'm sorry. It appears they're after a particular demographic. Why is it always the kids? Sorry for this one. We are going to go to Chicago. I hear Chicago, please correct me if I'm wrong. It's anecdotal. It's such a glorious town and it's such a great foodie city. But it's dangerous there. And it's under liberal leadership when those policies are never good for human safety, unless, of course, they crack down. But then again, that ain't good for human safety either. From the Daily Wire, what I saw at Chicago's Queer Fam Pride Jam, at Chicago's Millennium Park, one of the first tables that greeted attendees was manned by a drag queen in a pink shawl, tight green spandex, and a Fizzy Wig, I think, was a character in a Dickens novel, was offering drag makeovers for kids. Why not for senior citizens? The line was long, with children and toddlers uneasy as their parents walked them up to the man in drag. Those parents need to be examined. Those kids are not safe. Prominently featured three different drag performers who danced for the children, with one even accepting a dollar bill from a child as he suggestively danced. Oh, cool. Sponsored by Lululemon, by the way. The city's mayor, Brandon Johnson, took the stage after the opening set to declare June as one of the most important months and wish the crowd a happy queer family month. That would be Romans 1, a complete. The feature performance was the drag extravaganza, hosted by the Chicago Drag Superstars. After a late start due to the tardiness of Boogie McLaren, the house music dance instructor, the first drag performer, came out to a Spice Girls song while donning a leopard print one-piece outfit. Within seconds, the drag queen leapt off the stage into the crowd of children. Huh, kind of kooky that so many kids are involved in this, where he strutted between rows of seats before dropping to his back in front of a child and then doing something I won't even describe for you. Another drag performer, this would be a bearded lady, stepped out onto the stage in tall white heels and a long pink robe. He opened his performance by dramatically tearing it off to reveal a tight-fitting brown one-piece spandex outfit interspersed with pink sparkles. He, too, jumped off the dance floor amid the crowd of children. This is just coincidence, I'm sure of that. The final act was centered around Fabulous Freddy, who gave children a class on voguing, an often suggestive style, is there any other style of voguing, of dance that's been described as an important part of queer identity. Fabulous Freddy then walked each of the dozens of children, to strut down an imaginary runway to the gleeful adulation of the parents. This is an abomination. This is wickedness. This is evil on display. When parents are exposing their children to this, I'm sorry, I don't think there are soft words for this. I think it's wrong to soft pedal it in any way, shape, or form, or to kind of overlook what's going on. Well, you know, in America, we do have freedom to do the evil, wicked. That's the Christian voice. We point a finger at evil and we proclaim what is true and right and good and worthy of praise, and we point them to the solution to their evil-hearted problem. Fabulous Freddy taking each child one by one down the runway as he vogued with them. While many of the children looked confused or uninterested, the adults in attendance loudly cheered. It's always the parents, typically the mom, or just a dad who's running behind carrying all this stuff. A number of different LGBT children's books were also at the sale, were at the event, including Being You, a picture book that includes drawings of small children declaring, "I'm trans." Terrific. That was what was going on in Chicago. Christians, I fear that we all have, we don't want to become obnoxious. We don't want to sound like hateful spewers of vitriol, but what else can we do? What can we say about that? And why don't we say these things about this? Why don't we call these things the biblical names that they are? This is an absolute abomination, and to be an adult who leads a little children into this depravity, I hope they like millstones, because I think that text would apply. That these parents and these adults who are leading these children into licentiousness, this is Wretched Radio.
All right, listen up, folks. I've got some exciting news for you, because if you've been looking to share the gospel and make a real impact, then we've got the perfect thing for you at the Wretched Store at wretched.org. Of course, you've heard about our gospel booklets. First, there's Are You a Rotten Fish? Perfect for helping you spot the difference between true and false converts. Next, we've got Don't Stub Your Toe. This booklet makes evangelism a breeze. But wait, there's more. The Man Who Split Time proves once and for all that Jesus is God. 22 proofs in this booklet that will have even the most skeptical of skeptics scratching their heads. And last, but certainly not least, 13 reasons why you should not commit suicide. So what are you waiting for? Head over to wretched.org and stock up on these life-changing gospel booklets. Your friends, your family, and even complete strangers will thank you for sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. Gospel booklets available now at wretched.org.
If you're familiar with the Tomorrow Club's outstanding ministry, oh, what a testimony. Eastern Europe, Africa, poor, poor, poor places. The Tomorrow Clubs go in, they assemble the kids every week, preach the gospel, have them memorize the Bible, sing songs, love on them, give them some treats. It has been an outstanding ministry for over 20 years, and it's growing like a nobody's business, and it is a testimony to their faithfulness that over 50% of the Tomorrow Club volunteer leaders were Tomorrow Club kid attendees. Now they, in their villages, are teaching the kids the gospel as volunteers for the Tomorrow Clubs. I got to tell you, that is a testimony. If you love supporting evangelistic ministries that are faithful, that actually preach repentance and faith, it's an outstanding ministry. If you can support it, would commend them to you by visiting tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Attention all Christians who refuse to be silenced. Are you tired of seeing culture crumble before your eyes? Picture this. Later this year, 8 brilliant minds, each a powerhouse in their field, will be coming on board and joining forces with us here at Gospel Partners Media, and we're creating a Christian version of The Daily Wire. We'll be tackling tough topics by writing articles, creating resources and homeschool curriculums, video resources, podcasts, and a lot more. These gentlemen will be your guides in navigating this upside-down, brave new world we're living in. But we need your help to make this vision a reality. If you'll join our $250,000 match campaign right now, you can be part of this exciting new chapter. Every dollar you give will be matched up to $250,000. Just visit wretched.org/fellows right now to learn more about the initiative and each of the 8 brilliant minds that will be joining us. That's wretched.org/fellows.
Lexicon.
There are many words to help us understand the nature of the Bible. Words like sensus literalis. The Bible is to be read in the literal sense, the way the author and original audience would have understood it. There is no code, no secret meaning to be uncovered. The Bible is plainly written so that all people can know God through its pages. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Some Christian talk show programs might have one trend. Some might dare to have two. Well, not here at Wretched Radio. Five, count them, five trends held in my never-before nicotine-stained fingers. Trend number one, it looks like everybody's angrier these days. That's right. According to a big study in the UK, Gallup Global Emotions Report, anger around the world has been rising since 2016. 23% of respondents feel angry on any given day. Have you felt that? Is it possible you've been infected by the anger disease, the pandemic that is spreading around the globe? Pretty easy to get angry these days. And I don't think that the right response to that is to say never get angry. It's to be righteously angry when appropriate and not get agitated, annoyed, and see human beings as the enemy when they really are the harvest field. That ain't an easy balance, is it? That is a tricky one, especially when we're so bombarded by all of the Romans 1 depravity these days. I got to tell you, I dig the social media. I love all of the advances that computers and technology have made for the sake of human flourishing. But I got to tell you, we weren't meant to be God and know every terrible, horrible thing that is going on in the world. He can handle it. We can't. And maybe the reason that many of us are so angry is because we're just being exposed to stuff, too much stuff that our brains can't handle. By the way, speaking of brains, this isn't a trend, but wow, did I find this a fascinating article and maybe something that might encourage you to witness to your eye doctor or your general physician or whoever takes care of you. This is fascinating. A full scan of 1 cubic millimeter of brain tissue, that is a tiny amount of brain tissue, took over 1.4 petabytes of data. That's the equivalent of 14,000 4K movies. That is 1 millimeter of human brain. In other words, the human brain is the most sophisticated machine in the universe. Your brain, between your two ears, even mine. A collaborative effort between Harvard and Google AI experts. They took a deep dive into neural mapping. They did full imaging, mapping of a brain sample, and they made some discoveries. Quote, we did the math on what ramping up this experiment to the entire brain would cost, and the scale is impossibly large to store the information that they gleaned from 1 cubic millimeter of brain tissue would take 1.6 zettabytes of storage, costing $50 billion and spanning 140 acres. That's your brain. Don't tell me that animals are better. Don't tell me that animals are more sophisticated. Don't tell me that we are just like them, despite all of the efforts to tell you that there's no difference between us and monkeys. There are. They pick bugs off of each other. Okay, a parent sometime might pick up, if the kid comes home with lice, yes, we will pick bugs off of our children, but we don't eat them. There's a difference. One neuron was found with 5,000 connection points to other neurons. Fearfully and wonderfully made, coming to mind. The cubic millimeter of brain is only 1/1,000,000th of the size of an adult human brain. Are we impressed? This should cause worship. And how medical professionals can see this and say, nah, no God, no designer here. And it's not just the brain, it's the skeletal system. It's the muscular system. It's the neurological system and the connectivity of all of it functioning. It's amazing. You cannot deny it. Storing 1.6 zettabytes on the cheapest consumer hard drives would cost $48 billion. and that's without any redundancy. That does not factor in the cost of the server hardware to put the drives in, networking, cooling power, and roof to put over this data center that is 1 millimeter of your brain. The roof in question would also be massive. Assuming full server racks holding 1.8 petabytes, the array of racks needed to store the full imaging of a human brain would cover over 140 acres if smushed together as tightly as possible. Share that with your doctor. Ask your doctor. My ophthalmologist friend, when you look at the eye, how do you account for its complexity? How does your worldview explain the intricacy of the human neurological system? How do you account for the fact that all of this stuff had to work together in staggering harmony? Otherwise, there would be no reason for us to evolve in this way. That's one of the most powerful lines of reasoning, I think, against godless atheism or an evolutionary system. Which came first? Your legs or your feet? Because if you got legs, but you don't have feet that can utilize them, well, then you don't need legs. So they wouldn't evolve. They had to evolve together. And they didn't. They can't. That's such staggering odds that it is absolutely impossible to imagine that all of the parts in your body that needed to operate together all happened to evolve at the exact same time. You need oxygen. So which came first? Your lungs or your nose and mouth? Food. The need for food. You need food. Which evolved first? Your stomach? Digestive tract? How's about the gullet that runs it from mouth to tummy? How's about peristalsis, which is needed to move the food down? That's why you can swallow upside down. Gravity doesn't bring it down. Your muscles in your throat bring it down. They're just going to undulate together. What was that doing while it was waiting for the throat to evolve or for the mouth to be able to chew? And what about the teeth that are needed and the tongue? Well, it couldn't happen. It's ridiculous. And that is why those who deny it, there's a greater motive, and the Bible nails it. They want to suppress the truth in unrighteousness. According to the research from the Institute of Customer Service, 60% of customer service workers have experienced hostility in the past year. Now, don't you panic. If you're feeling angry, this article, which is in the Huff and Puff and Blow Your Worldview Down post, gives you some tips to control your anger. Ready, Jimmy? This is going to just calm you down, sir. Think to yourself, I'm feeling really angry right now.
Huh. Yeah, that works every time.
Take yourself out of the situation. Use a code word when you feel angry. Focus on what's around you. Focus on your breath. Use a grounding object. Keep notes on your phone with reminders to yourself about what to do when you feel angry. There you go. You're fixed.
Thanks.
Anger, be gone. Here's a trend that's troubling. Why young followers glorify school shooters? What in the world? This is from USA Today. TikTok profiles with the shooters' names and photos are festooned with hearts and ribbons and fans of the shooters declaring their love for the murderers. Videos splice together old footage and stills of the shooters. First-person shooter simulations of Columbine regularly pop up on TikTok, while they fetch tens and even hundreds of thousands of views. What? Sorry. Can we take a look at the TikTok machine? Can we take a look and make some laws? Can we just say, look, kids, we know you're going to lose out on some stuff, but you're not going to have a device that allows you to have access to everything. We will give you only what is needed to operate in this society, to carry around with you and use in your leisure away from your parents' eyes. School shooters, including the killers at Sandy Hook, studied and emulated the Columbine attack. Cool. The documents posted online by copycats frequently mention the influence of Columbine. Whoa, one TikTok video featured Columbine shooters in fictional Disney posters amassed 400,000 views in 3 months. The adults need to take over again. We need to recognize these kids cannot handle these things. Now, this is The Guardian, the trend. Animal homosexual behavior underreported by scientists. Sorry, y'all. You can try to undermine natural law all you want. We ain't animals. another trend, the complete deconstruction of Western civilization, not the B, included a quote from the author of Abolish the Family. Well, that's pretty clear about their agenda. Says the desire to protect kids' innocence is a threat. Guess who's driving the threat? Christian evangelical capitalism on steroids. Here's a review of the book. Anchored in a strikingly hopeful feminist Marxism, the author leads the reader through a systematic, didactic introduction to the politics and possibilities of cutting ourselves loose from the constraints and impositions of the traditional patriarchal capitalist family. That is a trend that is not abating. I would encourage you again, mom and dad, going to have to get involved in educating your kids about what is going to inform their worldview when it comes to social systems, when it comes to governments, and when it comes to economics. Because if we don't, TikTok will. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.